Very good. Hello, greetings, everybody. It's 5:30. I'd like to call to order the Select Board meeting of Tuesday, December 9th, 2025. The meeting is being audio recorded. First up is reviewing the agenda. We're going to be welcoming Mia in a moment, and then we have a 5:30 appointment with Mohawk Trail Regional School District Representative Budge Litchfield, as well as hearing from Ken Rock this evening as well. At 6:30, we will have our special town meeting, after which we will review minutes from November 17 and November 19th. We'll then continue on to talk about the roof repairs that are needed here and talk about some contractor bids that have come in. We will review mail and then talk about our next meeting and agenda. Will, do you have anything to add?
Not at this point.
Okay. Hilma?
No.
Mia? No. All right. Very good. Well, I am so excited to extend a very warm welcome to Mia Francesconi. So sorry, I'm going to get this right. It's going to roll off my tongue so easily. Mia Francesconi from Coleraine to her new role as Heath Town Coordinator. Mia started yesterday and will spend the next several weeks alongside Hilma getting acquainted with her new role and meeting with town employees and residents and get all settled in. So, Mia, I want you to know we are all here to help you, get you settled, learn alongside you, support you in whatever you need to help you get settled here. Welcome. Oh, this is Mia.
Hi, guys.
So, well, with that, we're going to roll right into our first appointment. I don't know if Budge would like to go first with your update.
I'll talk first. I want to talk about just some of the ongoing things in our school district. Capital project planning thing. Finances for FY 26 and 27, and then some thoughts I have about our sustainability study, and that kind of segues into what Ken might think it's about, which is thoughts on sustainability study. So, for the past, it would be at least 10 years at this point, Mohawk Trail Regional School District is engaged in a capital project planning process. It's a five-year model, and basically what it says is we need to look at what do our buildings need over the next 5 years. We know that we're going to have to take out bonds to pay for it. If you figure on a five-year bond, then you have five-year chunks. We're at one of those chunks right now. So we call the group Capital Project Working Group. And given the fact that I'm the chair of the building subcommittee for the district, I'm chairing that working group. And what I want to make sure that the select board and finance committee members know is there is the potential for a capital project assessment request coming up at our May ATM. Given the fact, though, that we're in the middle of a sustainability study, people say, well, why would you be doing building projects if you're in the middle of a sustainability study? Regardless of what the vote is on the sustainability project, the next 3 to 5 years, there are going to be kids in some or all of these elementary schools. So our working group said, we're looking at then prioritizing health and safety issues at each school. Because we're not going to leave our buildings open in the next 3 to 5 years if there are health and safety issues that are ongoing. For the town of Heath, at Mohawk Trail Regional School, there are outside light pole posts that need to be replaced. That parking lot is just simply not well lit. That might add up to around $50,000. There are two different water heaters in the building, one of which services the entire kitchen area. Kind of a health and safety issue. You need to have hot water in your kitchen. So we're looking at this we meet again in January and look hard at these priorities, but there may be, I want to let the select board and finance committee members know, but very well could be a capital project, a capital assessment request coming forward at the ATM. At Corrine Central School, where we would also have some financial responsibilities there for capital projects, their fire alarm system is old. If something breaks, there are no way of getting new parts for it. So that's another potential request. So I just want to pass that information along. Finances. FY26, the district was very, very careful to try to cushion the assessment impact on our towns. And the way that the district can cushion that is by using monies in revolving funds and E&D, emergency deficiency funds. We did that. Unfortunately, late in the process, well after our budgets were passed and approved, and primarily the governor's decision, rural aid was reduced from $16 million to $12 million. Well, that loss of $4 million has an impact on this school district. And so we're, Bill Luttrell, our superintendent for business and finance, is working really hard to stay on top of our budgets, but we've also put more pressure on those revolving funds and E&D, because those are the way we cushion and adjust to things that change. The rural aid picture, for those of us who were here when Senator Paul Mark was here a few weeks back, I asked the question about rural aid. A Commonwealth-wide committee recommended that there be $60 million of rural aid approved. Well, last year, we managed to get 16. There's a big difference between 60 and 16. They both have sixes in them, but, to see the 16 drop to 12 this year, that really impacted what we are doing right now. So as we look at this, looking ahead at FY27, those cushions that we use to try to hold down the assessment increase levels for the towns have already been hit, and hit harder than we would desire. We'll still be using them, but there may not be as much there. I would really encourage folks in finance committees and select board members and town members, support rural aid. It cannot bring us up out of the sustainability problem that we have. But man, it can certainly make things a lot easier over the next 3 to 5 years to have a full level of rural aid, which was suggested by a statewide commission. And that's, so sort of leads to the point that obviously some things need to change. We can't just keep doing exactly the same things that we do. And that's why there is a sustainability project underway. Educationally, incredibly small classrooms, although that may sound nice to people. I can tell you as a professional educator that a classroom of 6 to 10 kids is not necessarily the most educationally viable setting to have your child in for a variety of reasons. It's also not particularly economically viable. So there are very good reasons. The data that's out there and all the sustainability study reports that you've read And if you're going to read them, please be aware, they're often 100 pages long, but still. They say that something needs to change. Yes, the rural aid piece is something that needs to change. Our configuration as a district or a pair of districts, or I think that something else that has not been included much recently, until recently really, is Rowe Elementary School. These things have to be considered carefully as to how changes and what types of changes would make the most sense. The consolidation of Mohawk Trail and Hallmark in one district does make a good deal of sense. I mean, just administratively, it would make a lot of sense. Doesn't save a heck of a lot of money, but it sure as heck does make life a lot simpler and easier to manage. One of the other suggestions that's being made is the movement of sixth graders to Mohawk Trail Regional School. The state curriculum frameworks in Massachusetts describe middle school as being grades 6 through 8. So having your students from 6, 7, and 8 grade in the same building allows their staff to coordinate and work well together. So there's some really good sense there. So, you know, me, I'm an educator. I'm looking at some of these educational pieces and I'm saying, yes, something needs to change. Some level of consolidation would make sense. But there are also ongoing questions. Now, I've got two that I'm going to bring up, but I know that Ken has some ongoing questions with regard to legal mechanisms that we use. To make these changes, you have to amend the regional agreement. That's full handed over to our neighbor Ken. But in terms of ongoing questions that I have, we are a 250 some odd square mile regional school district. To have a single campus model, because that's what's being proposed as the ultimate goal, would have students in the 4 western towns traveling some pretty darn good distances. And I'm concerned about that travel time for elementary school students. I'm not aware of any other elementary school districts in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts that encompass 250 some odd square miles of distance, because it takes a good deal of time to drive your kids around in that kind of distance, particularly in our kinds of roads hills, curves. So I'm concerned about that, but I'm also concerned about that from the perspective of Plainfield, the western end of Hawley, parts of Charlemont, Heath, have the highest percentages of families who qualify as low income in this entire district. And I have a problem with the families the towns who have the highest level of low income students being told they're going to travel the longest distance to get to a centralized elementary school. That centralized elementary school may be a excellent academic situation. Some of our current elementary schools are so antiquated in terms of just their basic electronics in the building, let alone their Wi-Fi and so forth. But that's a consideration for me. If you think of driving to the north end of Number 9 Road to Mohawk Trail Regional School, you do it in your own personal vehicle, You're not stopping to pick up kids on a ride. You're just doing it in your own personal vehicle. You're taking a ride. You drive a school bus that far with kindergartners, first and second graders. That's a concern. Now, this concern's on the table. Steering committee knows it. I'm the steering committee rep. I've said it a few times. I'll be curious to see what the outcomes are there. Are there suggestions? Part of my concern there is the suggestion going to be that we have to have a bunch of feeder buses bringing children in to more centralized locations? Because at number 9, you could have 2 vans picking up kids along number 9 road, coming down, dropping them at 8A on the larger bus and go. That'd be faster. You could save time to pick up kids on north end of 8A. You could do that. Those cost savings, the big attraction to a single campus, they're doing this once you start bringing on more buses and more drivers. So that's a kind of question that I have that needs to be explored. My mind is open as to what decision to make ultimately regarding the sustainability proposal. But that's a very important question for me. The second one is similar. It involves preschool. And this is one that I'm amazed has not shown up at all in any of the earlier studies on this project. But if you're going to tell the parent of a 3-year-old who lives on the west end of Route 8A in Hawley that they're driving their kid to a preschool campus that's attached to Walk Trail Regional School, I think that's a problem. I don't think that preschool enrollment would increase with that. In fact, I'm very concerned that preschool enrollment would decrease. Preschool is an important part of education. And preschool for families who are falling into a lower economic bracket is incredibly important. And that's data-driven. Those are just simple facts. And as this town's steering committee rep, I put that question on the table and I want to hear answers. Because it's not okay to say that the parents of 3-year-olds in some of our towns are going to have basically the same drive time to get their kid to preschool as they've had in the past. And the parents in a whole bunch of other towns are going to have much longer drive time to get their kids to preschool. So there are questions that I have regarding the sustainability piece. other questions regarding, well, I think that's probably all I should say about the preschool question. Another important issue that just so everyone's aware is that to engage in a single campus model, the Massachusetts School Building Authority, MSBA, funds would be essential. We'll learn whether or not we are eligible for those funds for this cycle on December 12th. So that's coming up. Yeah, this Friday. So those are, you know, kind of the things I have to, you know, just, you know, to share with you. I mean, they're just a continuous work. Doing things like the Capital Project Working Group, as we usually do, looking after the care of our buildings. Our resident superintendent, Bill LaToy, is working really hard to take care of the FY 25-26 budget and the fact that we lost a bunch of money in rural aid. and try to start building the budget for FY27. At the same time, we do need to see changes made. But there are questions about exactly how they will work, exactly what changes, and how they get played out. So I don't, you know, yeah. Well,
this is maybe getting into the weeds, but I'm looking at this building. Is it possible that a classroom could be reutilized for a preschool program for local people, for example?
Well, no, Will, I clearly understand, and I try to think through options for the preschool thing. I mean, one, you know, quick and simple one would be, well, you know, if you start closing, you know, Sanderson, Hollowmont, whatever, sure, just keep, you know, a couple rooms there open as a preschool. The challenge there is it impacts the building reuse plans for those buildings. Now, this building, we're already working with, you know, how we reuse the building. So, yes, as I know, this is what it is, yeah. So this is certainly a possibility. The other challenges that I've had as I've tried to think this through, it would be a district operated, well, I would assume the district has a responsibility to operate a preschool. So again, you have then the funding and the staffing and the travel time for staff from a potentially centralized elementary school out here. To provide services to the children in a preschool, let's say here, you may need to have your speech and language pathologist, occupational therapist, physical therapist, traveling then from Buckland here, and then maybe to a location in Plainfield, or, you know, again, looking at having remote preschools closer to the families. So you're then, in a way, working against this whole thread of trying to bring everything consolidated in one place. But I hear your question, and this is part of the reason I'm asking this question, and I have continued to ask it. I will continue to ask it. This needs to be addressed.
Because I think your point is well taken about it being a really long trip for a little kid.
It is. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a little kid in kindergarten on a bus, or little kids and, you know, a parent driving them, you drop your kid off. I know what dropping kids off at preschool is like. You're going to hang around and visit for a little kid a little bit, make sure everyone's all set. Okay, good, say bye-bye. And drive home, right?
It's time to go back.
You have an hour and a half at home, get a cup of coffee, and then you drive back again, right? I mean, is this going to encourage preschool enrollment? No. I would want to see preschool enrollment to be as high as is possible. I guess the other piece that I skipped on here a moment ago is the question of Rowe Elementary School. Rowe Elementary School is a fine elementary school. And currently we have 16 children from Keith attending Rowe Elementary School. Just again, get people's minds, get a perspective. We have 10 of our elementary school children at BSE. We have 6 of our elementary school children at Coleraine Central School, which is the school that's called our home school in the district. We have 10 at Hollowmont. That is quite a spread. And there's another thing to be thinking about as we think about the impacts of consolidation. Moving to one elementary school, I guess to be plain and blunt about it, if you consolidate and close Sanderson, B BSE, Holomod, you move to one campus at Rock Trail Regional School. Enroll Elementary School is still open. Do you think any other families in Heath would bring their children over to Enroll Elementary School? Think geographically here for a second. I mean, I don't have data, but I've got a little bit of common sense left, I think. These are questions that I think that people in Heath need to be considering. I think at that point I'll transition over to Ken. That's important things that folks in Heath need to be thinking about as we look at this big picture.
Thank you. So, you all know I've been sort of looking at these kinds of things for a long time. And what I'm going to say tonight is in response to the district's presentation here a few weeks ago. And my understanding is they're looking for feedback from towns. My hope is that at some point, sooner rather than later, the next few weeks or months, that the Board of Selectmen and FinCom of Heath take positions on some matters and communicate those positions back to the steering committee and administration of Mohawk Trail, and communicate those to other towns, because I think some of our interests may align well with some of the interests of the outlying towns and the smaller towns. What I'd like to avoid is Heath being in the position of being presented with a changed regional agreement April, May, June, for a fall meeting that we do not feel is in the interest of Heath, and then being in the position of a spoiler for the district. The last regional agreement modification that came forward was a year and a half ago, the town meeting vote, and it was pretty clear that some provisions of what was being suggested in the regional agreement were not in the interests of Heath. So my hope is if there's discussion about this within the town and hopefully between some towns as well, and we take some official positions and communicate those positions, then we will, if a regional agreement comes forward that still has those things that we have said, this is not in the interest of Heath, then if we vote no, it should not be a surprise to anybody. Okay, that said, I absolutely think we should regionalize. And I'm a very strong proponent of regionalizing, not just with Holomont, but with Roe as well. We should be a 9-town district, not 6 towns here and 2 towns there and 1 town over there. And the way you can tell is all the kids end up at the middle school, high school together. Roe kids are tuitioned there. I know that people think of they don't think of this as the first reason, but when you've got administrators who are overseeing 2 districts, you're wasting that resource, that valuable resource of your business manager, superintendent, and so on. It's much more efficient and effective to have 1 district. Also, I'll point out that I know for other towns, the school choice situation for Heath has been somewhat problematic. If we were to regionalize with 9 towns, that the school choice issue, at least for Heath, goes away. School choice is primarily a geographic phenomenon because we don't have a school, so naturally parents want our kids to go to the nearest schools, which are Holomont and Roe, both good schools. So I'm in favor of regionalization, and what I'm going to say next, I think would surprise some, but I think that Holomont and Roe should both stay open. And I think there's a way to regionalize and keep both of those schools open. I know this is counter to what's coming forward. But I believe the town should regionalize first and then make decisions about what schools to keep open or close. and I'll come back to that. I think that the way it's going to be proposed is that regionalization can only occur if one or more elementary schools close. And I think that's an assumption, not a necessary way of designing the process. I understand that the larger towns feel that if Palamont stays open, or if Roe comes into the district, because they're smaller schools and therefore they're less efficient economically, it may be the feeling of the larger towns that they would be paying to educate the kids in Charlemont, Heath, Pauley, and Roe. But I'll say that there would be a way to design the regional agreement with differentiated elementary budgets. It would be, I think, complex to negotiate, but it could be done so that if Hallamont and if Pauley and Charlemont want to keep their school open, some kind of formula where, okay, but below a certain size, they pay more so it doesn't go on the backs of the other towns. And the same thing with Roe. I think that the odds of Roe voting to regionalize and close their elementary school are rather low. It's a wonderful school. They can afford it. We have kids that go there. So if the strategy is to do it all or nothing with Palamont for sure and Roe, if they want to join the district closing, I think you're limiting your options for keeping smaller schools open within the district. We are the only town in the last few decades anyway that's had to close a school, and I think it's been difficult for us, and I'm not sure that at the planning level that there's a recognition of that it's a loss for the town to close an elementary school. I don't hear that language. I think if people stopped and said, we really realize how important small elementary schools are to our towns, they might begin to think about, is there a way to keep them open and still regionalize? My laptop is dying, so I'm doing this off. So I'm in favor of regionalization. I think there are three provisions that need to be maintained in the new regional agreement. And this is specific for the interests of Heath. I think it's essential that we maintain the current methodology for how towns are assessed for students who choice out to schools in another district. Right now, towns are not assessed the second part of the local assessment, the above minimum contribution, for students who choice out. So that's a positive way of saying it. A negative way would be if the new regional agreement proposed comes forward and says that changes. I think it's not in the interest of Heath to approve something like that. My calculation is, given current enrollment, that would cost us about $158,000 a year annually, just that change. Multiply that by about 7, which is about the above minimum contribution. I think that it's also important that the current methodology for assessing capital improvement costs at elementary school buildings that's based on kids from whatever town who attended the school rather than kids who are assigned to the school. Our kids are assigned to Corrine. Mm-hmm. That methodology be maintained, because most of our kids do not go to foreign countries. And finally, and maybe most importantly, what has protected Heath and the smaller towns for a long time is a provision in the regional agreement that the regional agreement itself cannot be changed without the agreement of all towns. That provision in the regional agreement can be changed if all towns agree to it. I would suggest that it's not in the interest of the or the smaller towns in general to have that provision changed. If the assessments were kept the same, but that was changed, the assessments could be changed without the approval of the town attorney. Talk for just a moment about the regionalization process. Where our voice is limited because we do not have a second member on the school committee. Fudge has been incredible and stayed with it all these years, but he's flying solo. And now he's stepping into the steering committee role as well. If we really want our voices heard, and I know how busy all the people who volunteer for all the committees are. I'm not pointing at anybody in any way. I couldn't do it. But if we can't provide a second member to the school committee and a person to the steering committee, our voice and our interests are going to be limited. The last thing is a little bit sensitive, but in the spring, the FY26 budget was changed to accommodate a data error that had been made that essentially overcharged Charlemont and Pauley. That was a significant change in the assessment, particularly to Charlemont for that year. That number was the fifth year that that number, was the fifth fiscal year that that number had been used. If that number was wrong for FY26, it was wrong for the four preceding years as well. I've been waiting to hear how that's going to be addressed by the district. I believe if it is not addressed, that you have unfinished business between the towns. And I'll point out, this is not a DESE matter. The regional agreement is a local agreement among the towns. And how the assessments are portioned out is a local agreement. That's within our control, our eight towns, our administration, and so on, to adjust that. What would be good to see is an acknowledgement that that incorrect figure applied to four previous fiscal years as well, and an open dialogue with between two school districts and the select boards and the PENCOMs to figure out what to do about it. I will suggest with the drop in enrollment in Alma, they must be in trouble fiscally at this point, using up their reserves and so on. If in fact they're owed money from prior years, maybe that would keep Haulamont afloat for a while these other issues are being worked out. Haulamont and Rowe are our schools more than any other school at this point because of the number of kids that address it. I'm bringing this to you because there are real limits to my ability to address it as just a resident. I'm happy to talk more about it. I'm happy to come back to future meetings. I think it's a critical issue. The last thing I'll say is, and the suggestion was made the night when Mohawk Trail presented, I think it would be to the advantage of Heath to have a dialogue going on between the towns, not just through the steering committee. I don't know how it could get organized. We're all very busy. It's not something I could do, but I would be glad to speak at any of those or present this point of view if meetings were being set up. I think that's all I've got. So.
Okay. So just to tag on to some of the things that Ken just said. The week before Thanksgiving and the week after, the steering committee held community meetings at BSE, Haulamont, Mohawk Trail, and then after Thanksgiving at Sanderson and Florian Central School. And unfortunately, the attendance was not great. And I think it just really points to the need for our town boards and interested citizens in our towns to be speaking up and communicating to the steering committee about our thoughts. I was at the Haldimont meeting, and I know that there are some folks in Haldimont some strongly held negative opinions about the proposal to consolidate into one elementary school, and the attendance was just, it was not there. So I don't know why. I'm not going to speculate as to why, but I think that communication from our select boards and finance committees on these ideas, the ideas that I've shared, the ideas that Ken's just shared, are really important. And support for rural aid are just really important things for us to do. These are constructive voices that we can share to hopefully make positive interests. Your point about the all towns being required to change the regional agreement. It would have been the very early 1990s. Mohawk Trail was a 7-12 district, and there were a whole bunch of small regional elementary school districts around. I was at that time chair of the Heath School Committee and Superintendents of Union 65, which was Haldimont and Rowe and Heath, and not operating. And the conversation came up at the ad hoc committee to try and design what the regional agreement for a K-12 Mohawk Trail agreement would be. And it was very clear. It was the small towns. That was one of those voices that said, yeah, if you're going to change the regional agreement, everyone has to be comfortable with it. That's the way it is. It's these kinds of messages that need to get out for folks to hear and for the steering committee here. I know, sitting at school committee meetings and steering committee meetings, that there are folks in other towns who will not agree with that approach. They need to hear it early on from folks in Heath. Yeah, this is very important to us. It takes 8 towns to make a change.
Yeah, I had a question for Ken. Do you think that there are enough students at Haldimont and Rowe to keep them open? I mean, that is a concern of lower enrollments. And if
so, I think what happened when the tuition agreement between Heath and Haldimont ended, we saw some exodus of parents to Buckland Shelburne.
Mm-hmm.
I think with a reasonable fear that Haldimont might not last.
Mm.
I've looked at the numbers. It's on the low side of what's a manageable size. However, if the regional agreement allowed for differentiated elementary budget for the towns that wanted to keep a school open, maybe so if they paid the extra cost.
Mm-hmm.
That would become a town decision about whether they would want to or could afford to keep it open if the enrollment stayed at that level.
Mm-hmm.
For Rowe, because of the tax from Bear Swamp, and their tax rate's about $6
and
change, I think they can afford to keep it open almost no matter what the cost per student. I'm not really familiar with the inner workings of Rowe, but financially they could keep it open. And if we regionalize with 8 towns and Haldimont closes, my guess is Rowe will stay open and as many kids from Heath as they will accept will end up choice.
And that's the problem, is they don't accept everybody, and that's we're right back to square one.
It feels like 1988 again.
Yeah,
yeah,
it does.
Yes,
yeah.
I agree. The number, the period of time that Ken just described, when parents in Charlemont were scared to death that Hallmont was going to close, and they did a school choice scramble. Mm-hmm. 29 children in Charlemont mm-hmm. are attending BSC right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would those parents turn it around and bring those children back? I don't know.
Well,
but would more continue to go to BSC, or would they stay at a Hallmont?
Well, and that's what happened to us, too. And
that's it exactly
when it was questionable.
Yeah, everyone.
You think of.
So, get out of there.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
But don't let go of preschool. The preschool idea. I feel really strongly that there's got to be a better solution if everybody goes to Mohawk for preschool.
Yeah,
and
I
think
agree.
That we ran a really good preschool program in the town of Heath, and it was in the center of town,
mm-hmm.
and it meant that those kids knew all the grown-ups around there, and that would be the same here. So they may not know the kids at Mohawk, but they're going to know their community.
Mm-hmm.
And those parents will know each other in a way that they won't know each other if they all go down there. So there's a lot of pluses to that, and to figure out the sped issues I know is important, but don't let go of that no matter what happens.
and to me, the most important thing is 3- and 4-year-olds receiving preschool education and experience.
Right. And you're not going
to
get it.
It has to happen. I can't see anyone doing anything but tanking in these four
right.
Western towns
yeah.
if the only preschool available to them is on the Mohawk Trail.
Well, the only way
it could be a great preschool, but still.
Well, and the only way it could happen is if there were private preschools that opened up in these schools, and that is a possibility. But at any rate, it's something that really needs attention.
Yeah.
It's an important thing.
I agree.
Great. Thank you both.
So, lots to think about.
Yes, to consider exactly. And ask more questions and so forth. So, but I appreciate the thoughts and the dialogue.
Glad to come back.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Any further questions, Will? No, anybody else? Questions, concerns? Well, we have a bunch in Ken here. Great. So we have a few minutes before STM begins. Do we want to try to do some minutes or something? Or what do you...
Well, the only thing is lots of us that were seated at 5:30 need to go back and get checked in.
Okay, maybe we should take moments to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody who came in prior to 5:30 needs to check in with Nancy in the back.
We check in again. Oh,
if you did not check in when you came in, please go back and check in, because that includes us too, Will, huh?
That's true, yeah.
So for those folks at home, you're going to hear a little scrambling around as we get set up for STM. And I did fail to mention that Robin is not with us this evening, so it's just Will and I tonight. So just let people at folks at home know. Okay.
I just have one. I believe
Yes.
Is that different than the sign-in sheet?
That doesn't count for voting.
It's for a voting time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really bad in here yet.
You know, You know what happens then, too. That's where I got it. Come up with some new ideas, old ideas, arm work, and work. You cannot keep doing it.
No,
you can't. No. So, you know it, I know it. Everybody should know it. Well, no,
Well, we haven't been on our skis yet, but Berkshire Insight is open. Well, they're open on the weekends.
Yeah. I love to see what they have going so far.
We have season passes, so yeah, we're keeping track. We're getting our grandkids on skis this winter. One will be 6 in February and the other is 8. So they're older than the typical Hilltown kids start. I mean, we see the 3-year-olds out there and the 2-year-olds. They will. I think they'll enjoy it. We'll see. We did season lease package for their equipment. We went up to near Mount Snow to Colorado. A place up there that has a very reasonable package for all their equipment. And they fitted them. It's really good. They live in Cambridge. So I don't know how many times we'll be able to get them out, but... Well, that would be great because, you know, like I was going to say, it's almost more of a gift to us. Because come to grandma and grandpa's, you know, and hey, 10 minutes.
How are you, sir?
Good. You don't have to have any more.
Damn it.
What, you said?
Yes.
So I talked to Eric and I said,
we've been there a number of times. We've had friends with their boys for racing. They would have races there, but it's not nearly as good as Berkshire.
Hey, and the ski lodge in Keene is much better. Yeah, they have really good food.
Oh, that's true.
They have very comfortable beds. They have a great selection of games to play. And a sledding hill right next to the house. So, you know, I don't think Wachusett can compete with that.
And the beds are free.
Yes, it's very reasonable.
That'll be great if that sticks.
And it's like free child care for the parents, you know.
Oh, there's fears as well.
One has never been.
But yeah, that can balance out where they put the kid into a class.
Yeah, we'll see. We're going to try it. It feels very splurgy, but, you know, if not now, when? It's become such an expensive sport. And if you have to drive 4 hours to get to a mountain, and then pay for, to get, sure. Berkshire East is affordable. It's a great family mountain. Yeah, I know about it, but I didn't.
Always earlier than usual. I got a lot of time.
Okay. Yeah. I got this year for the little ones. I'm going to have them professionally fitted and put on a season lease because. Well, and the place that does it, you can come back and they'll swap them up. And so I was like, this is the safe button and the easy button. So they have buddies to have fun with, yeah.
Well, no, I'm talking about
the equipment.
Yeah.
Oops, I was going to steal a chair so I can sit up front. Sorry.
So, congratulations to your son. Was he?
Quick question for you.
Promoted to charge of
I just need to
start. That's quite an honor. I'm sure he earned it.
Whatever. I'm not saying you do. I'm just saying.
I've been trying to warn people about it. The first time I was in here, I forgot. It's kind of disrespectful not to let anyone know. You know, when you're in public meetings, it's one thing to have a conversation.
Yeah.
If everyone could take a seat, we'll get the meeting started. So, my name is Eric Sumner. I'm the moderator for tonight's meeting. I have confirmed that we do have a quorum, so I will call the meeting to order. At the back table, you should have gotten a copy of tonight's meeting warrant. If anybody needs one, they're available at the back table. Just in terms of conducting the meeting, if you are interested in contributing to the discussion, please raise your hand. The moderator will call on you when it's your turn. Please address all of your comments to the moderator, all discussion. And if you have any questions about process, let me know. So we have a few articles to go over tonight. So before we get started, I will want you to know that this meeting is being audio recorded and video recorded, so everybody should be aware of that. So we'll start with Article 1. I'll entertain a motion for the town to authorize the select board to petition the general court for the enactment of special legislation as set forth below to allow the fire chief to continue in such position despite having reached the maximum age established by law, provided, however, that the general court shall be authorized to changes of form only to said bill without the approval of the select board, and to authorize the select board to approve such amendments as are within the purview of the petition or pass any voter votes in relation thereto as printed in the warrant article. Is there a motion to that effect? It's been moved.
Second.
It's been seconded. Discussion on Article 1. I'm sorry, you may have to holler to me. I've got my back to you.
Thank you very much.
Discussion on Article 1. Devin.
So this means each time, well, this is only for Nick, but this is only to petition the state to change it. It's not actually changing it right now.
Correct. It is to petition. The town cannot make that change. It has to be a vote of the legislature. And so we are petitioning the legislature to take this action. Do I have that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's my understanding.
Okay. So this is the process to get it before the legislature.
Yeah. Is this petition petition to only allow it for our current fire chief, or is this for future?
It has to be for the individual. Yep. So if it comes up again 2 years from now, we'll have to do it all over again for somebody else. But it's specific to the individual, not the position, is my understanding. Yeah.
That's my understanding as well.
Okay.
I just wanted to say we've done it before.
Oh, yep. Okay.
We've done it before.
It's been done before. Heath has done this before.
For a different individual.
Yep. Any further discussion on Article 1? Seeing no hands, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. It passes unanimously. Article 2. I'll entertain a motion for the town to authorize the select board to petition the general court for the enactment of special legislation as set forth below to allow a call member of the Heath Fire Department to continue in such position despite having reached the maximum age established by law, provided, however, that the general court shall be authorized to changes of form only to said bill without the approval of the select board, and to authorize the select board to approve such amendments as are within the public purpose of the petition, or pass any votes or votes in relation thereto as printed in the warrant article. Is there a motion to that effect? It's been moved.
Seconded.
It's been seconded. Discussion on Article 2.
Just for clarification, is there a need for a physical because we need the 65 and 70, so they keep on the fire department or fit to work on the fire department?
So the question is if someone is between the ages of 65 and 70, is there a requirement for them to have a physical as part of their position? I don't know the answer to that. Does anybody?
Is Nick here?
I do not see Nick.
Do you think there is?
No, I don't think there is.
I thought we had talked about this and that there wasn't, but
unless the fire chief says
I'll call on Hilma.
Yep. I'm sorry, Eric.
Go ahead.
I don't believe there is unless the fire chief believes it necessary of the individual.
There is a sentence in there that said at the time he may require that we'll go and do an examination at the expense of the town.
Yeah, may require.
So, in the article, in the part that I said as printed, it does have a provision for a physical, but this article is not requiring
sure.
it.
Okay.
So that provision is there. Yeah.
Okay.
Did that answer your question? Okay.
I can answer being an active member of the fire department since I started. And every year since, I haven't had it or have been required to have a physical. So that would be a change. And if they ask for a physical for any member, I would assume so there's no discrimination that you have to do every member of the department to become.
Further discussion on Article 2. Seeing no hands, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Article 2 passes unanimously. Article 3. A
I'll entertain a motion for the town to transfer $40,000 from the school town buildings improvement stabilization account to a new Jacob Road Municipal Center roof repair account. Is there a motion to that effect? It's been moved and seconded. Discussion on Article 3.
So I'm confused. So it's currently sitting in an account that's for school town building improvement. Isn't this a town building? Why does that be moved at all?
So the question is, it's why does this transfer, why does this money need to be moved in order to use it for this purpose? Okay. Does anybody have an answer to that? No.
Yes. Because stabilization accounts, once money is placed in the account, it takes a town meeting vote to transfer it to another account to be available to spend.
Thank you.
Further questions on Article 3? Bob?
Yeah. I was just wondering if this is part of a future plan, because we knew that through several means. First, there was a town looked at all the buildings, and then Mohawk also looked at this building, and they knew that the roof would be an issue. It was good for 25 years, and then after that, we knew that it could be a problem. And I don't know exactly how this money is being used. I assume that it's being used to fix an existing problem. And I'm just wondering if this is part of a larger plan. What if at some point the roof is going to have to be replaced, and how are we preparing to do that? Because you can't keep piecemealing something as essential as the roof.
Well, this is actually a triage situation. We actually do have active leaking going on in parts of the building, so it's more of an emergency measure that just has to be addressed so you don't end up getting deterioration. So.
Responding to the same question?
Yes, I am. It is also to re-roof a section of the gymnasium roof, about half of it, that's in the worst condition, and also to re-roof or, you know, re-shingle what's over our heads right now, the cafeteria.
Just a clarification, how much will that cost?
Estimated cost for those that described work. Do we have an estimate?
No. We didn't. The estimate to do the work that I just described, which would also cover the repairs, is a little over $35,000. And the select board is requesting that $40,000 be moved, just so there'll be a little contingency money available, just in case.
Bob? I know it's not to be addressed necessarily tonight, but just like we have stabilization funds for trucks for the fire department, and you know, we're planning ahead and start trying to set aside money for something that we know is coming down the road, I'm wondering if there is going to be a plan for doing something like that for the loop. Because triaging is fine, but at some point we know what's going to happen.
Anybody has a response to that, either select board or finance committee?
I think in the long run there is a plan, and we are in fact looking for grants in the future, possibly to the whole building, since we are using it as an EOC. It is in fact a good regional shelter. There are many reasons to argue for that, and we are going to be seeking grants to do this. So no, that's in the pipeline. We just don't happen to have all the money right here. This is a big job.
Good.
So
So is this a phrase, a band-aid fix, though there's a plan to replace the roof shingles in the future? Or are you looking for a grant to replace the shingles in the future, and then this $40,000 that is spent now would be part of the roof that would be stripped back off again and replaced with a new roof?
Well, that remains to be seen, but that's a very good question. Yeah. Go ahead.
No. Basically, the re-roofing, the sections that are re-roofed with new shingles, that's part of this plan, will not be stripped off two years from now, 5 years from now, whatever. They will remain, and the other sections will be done.
Just
a clarification,
have you gotten bids already? Is that why
you're...
And how many people bid for it?
Go ahead. Two. There were initially three, and one company that was out of state, when they found out that they had to bid according to Massachusetts prevailing wage, withdrew. So there were two bids. The lesser one was the $35,000 and change. And it was for 50-year architectural shingles.
How much money is in the currently in the school town building improvement stabilization fund?
So the question, I don't know if you heard, the question is how much money is currently in the school slash town buildings improvement stabilization account?
It's in the handout. It says the current amount, if I'm reading this right, in Article 3, the explanation, it says the current amount in the account is $93,307.
Thank you. Further discussion on Article 3. Why are we asking for donations?
For the community hall, there was already an established matching grant. At this time, we do not have that type of situation.
We couldn't the town match the grant?
For the windows?
Yeah.
Not at that time. It was the fastest way that we could do improvements to community hall. It was an opportunity that we took and the community supported.
Further discussion on Article 3?
I did some quick, they said they were just replacing the gymnasium roof. But if you do the calculation on that, just look at Google Earth, that's only about 70% of the building. You can see how it all fits, but this would be a little less than $40 million to replace the roof. And, you know, for a town that doesn't even have a functional fire hall, that just seems like a misplaced priority. And we should be spending money on things that serve the masses, not as our staff.
Further discussion?
Could you repeat that? The whole roof roughly, it could be a little less than $40 million based on the numbers that we're given to do the whole roof. And it seems irresponsible to put that much money into a building like this when we only have a functional fire hall and we claim poverty with a hamburger grant and handicap grant. It just seems like this is more of the disconnect between the government and the people and what the people's priorities really are. This is not hardly a representative cross section either.
Yep, Sue?
Can you give me an idea of how much revenue that we're getting for those people that are working in this building? Just to get an idea, I mean, it's a big building, we're getting, we want a huge sum of money. I was just wondering, which are the biggest revenue for this building that we get rent for?
I don't think, I'm not prepared to answer that question.
We wouldn't be able to offer an accurate answer at this time, but it's something that we can.
Give me an estimate. I mean, do we collect $30,000 in rent a year? $20,000?
Probably. Because I'm not familiar with like the short-term rentals that goes through somebody else, but I would guess it's somewhere between 20 and 30,000 per year.
And we're hoping that that'll continue in this.
Yes.
You do think we'll get between 20 and 30,000 dollars?
That would be my guesstimate, yes. But like I said, some of it does not come through my office.
So who collects the rent?
Further discussion on Article 3? Bob.
So if you're paying $20,000 to $30,000 a year in rent, what's that money going to? Utilities? Is there some sort of capital improvement aspect of that? Where's the money that we're getting in rent going to?
So, where, fiscally, where does that rent money go?
Yep, go ahead.
In the immediate year, it goes into the general fund, and it is counted again, if you will, against next year's tax rate. Like, it would be deducted as income from the total amount of the town's anticipated bills for next year. So it has an impact. It reduces next year's tax rate.
So the rent that we receive for this does not go directly to this building. It goes to the general fund.
I believe that's correct. Yeah, that's correct. Further discussion on Article 3.
Yep. We can also keep the doors open as well.
So what plan was there?
Keep it to the Article 3.
So we are getting a little far afield from the scope of the article, which is about the roof. I can see where that question around total cost may be informative to your decision to vote on this, so I will allow the question. Is there a ballpark, do we have a ballpark on the total cost of this building to the town of New Orleans?
Well, if I remember correctly, what town meeting approved in May was to have an account of $70,000 for the maintenance and utilities of this building for this fiscal year. That's what we had last year, and it was not quite all spent.
Further discussion on Article 3? Seeing no hands, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Article 3 passes. Article 4. I'll entertain a motion for the town to transfer $2,871 from IT stabilization fund account to the IT equipment upgrade account. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved. Second.
I'm sorry, who moved it? Moved and seconded. Okay. Discussion on Article 4. Seeing no hands, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Article 4 passes unanimously. Article 5. I'll entertain a motion for the town to transfer $10,000 from free cash account to a fire chief vehicle purchase account. Is there a motion to that effect? It's been moved. It's been seconded. Discussion on Article 5. Deb.
How much is the current vehicle supposed to cost?
What's the total cost of the vehicle? Nick, do you have that?
I'm not involved in those discussions.
Okay.
Just an innocent bystander.
Yep, well, happy to have you here.
Is
there an estimated cost for the vehicle?
As I recall, it's somewhere around $8,500, somewhere. It's being negotiated right now, but also there's we need to change the lights over to fire lights and also equip radio, so that's where the $10,000 comes from.
A clarification on it. I think they did put it out on the market. They were hoping to get, like, I don't know, 15 or 16. They didn't get any offers on it, so that's why we said it. So that's why there were some negotiations to get a lower price.
That answer your question?
Yep.
Okay. Further discussion on Article 5? Yeah.
Is enough being budgeted in not only for purchase of the vehicle, switching of the lights, switching of the radios, but also for graphics on the vehicle?
I believe so. Certainly the radios and lights. I'm not sure about the graphics, but I think that is the case. So.
Any more discussion on Article 5? Seeing no hands, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Article 5 passes unanimously. Article 6. I'll entertain a motion for the town to amend the town's protective zoning bylaws to add a definition of street and amend the existing definitions of exterior architectural feature, frontage, lot, and lot line, and to make related changes throughout the zoning bylaws with revised text indicated in bold, underline, and removed text indicated in strike through as printed in the warrant article. Is there a motion to that effect? It's been moved. It's been seconded. Article 6 requires a two-thirds vote for passage. So opening the discussion on Article 6, I'm going to first call upon the chair of the planning board to give an overview. Go ahead, Doug.
Okay, so this might sound very familiar, and that's because this is exactly what we voted on at town meeting. There was a mistake with how it was published. They weren't the two articles in the paper were not published the right distance apart, and so we just have to redo exactly the same thing. We did publish everything exactly correctly this time, I promise, and that's all documented. Basically, we're just consolidating all these different words for street to street. If anybody has questions, though.
And just for clarity, you properly published and held a public hearing.
Yes, we held, we did. And we had a public hearing, this last week, and we also found one typo, which we now have to amend. The typo is at it says corner lot. A quarter lot in any district is required to have at least the minimum frontage dimensions on each intersecting street. We got to strike the first street because there's two streets. So it won't say street. It will just say
You're making a motion to.
I'm making a motion to strike one of the streets, so it just says street. I'm saying strike the first one because the second one is in bold. And I have to say that.
So there's a motion to amend the article, section 5.2. Is there a second to the motion? Bob has seconded it. So again, just to be sure we're clear,
The motion we are considering right now is amending the article, section 5.2, to eliminate the first word street where it is duplicated. Discussion on the amendment. Seeing no hands, all those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. So now we're back to discussion Article 6 as amended. Is there discussion? Yeah, go ahead.
So what is the purpose of changing roads to streets?
It's just to have the words be all consistent. It started out with private ways and streets and all of these things. Under the state, they all have the same definition. So it makes it more clear to have everything say street.
So this is just for our bylaws, and it has no effect on the MassGIS?
No, and it also doesn't have any effect on road front. You still need the same road frontage. It doesn't change our zoning at all. And this is, we definitely checked this very carefully with town council. They've been over this whole thing, and they've advised us to do exactly this.
Will this affect our mail? We got to change all our mailing addresses for
no.
For everything we do.
It won't change anything for your mail. It's for the bylaws. Not if you live on Hosmer Road, you still live on Hosmer Road.
Okay.
But Hosmer Road is now a street.
Oh boy.
The mail stays the same, I promise.
That definitely doesn't make a lot of sense.
So we're going to call on Sheila.
I had the same question as Jerry, because we've lived in the same house 50 years and we've had 5 addresses. Okay. So I just wanted to have the same question.
No, all of the mail stays exactly the same. It's just how things are defined in our bylaws.
Further discussion on Article 6 as amended? Seeing no hands, all those in favor of Article 6 as amended, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That passes unanimously.
All right, thanks for your extra time.
Before I call for a motion to dissolve the meeting, are there any announcements or anything that needs to come up before the meeting? Okay, is there a motion to adjourn and dissolve the meeting? Can I move? It's been seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Thank you all. The meeting is dissolved.
For all the folks that joined us for STF, when I started the select board meeting, I had the honor of introducing our new town coordinator. So I'd like to do so again now that more of the town residents are here. Please welcome Mia. Stand up. Thank you, Deb. Okay. So, folks, know we do need to continue with our select board meeting. Keep that in mind. You're welcome to stay. Everybody can go out.
Thank you.
guys would like to have you respond to it, just to that email would be great. So that's a personal email that we can make sure that you have this town email. So anytime you send something to my personal, I will forward it to my town address. So that's fine. Okay, and we're going to make that correction so it's a little bit more sure. So thank you for letting me know about that. So, but again, for right now, Jesse was to get back to our select board.
Yeah. You're looking good.
No, I'm here at 12.
And if there was more, I don't have any more. Again, it's going to go back to you said Tisha. Do you understand what I'm saying? We weren't here, so we have to listen to what she said. We have to listen to what she said, and then we're going to say, okay, we don't know what we got. We weren't there. But all we can do is remind everybody that we need to I have to get back to the select board, and it's the third time that I've said this to you. I have to go back to my second. Okay? So let's talk again, okay? All right. Okay, or email me and share more of your concerns. Okay? All right. Hi, Bob.
I'm going to have you using the select board website.
Sure.
Because yes, I was told not to.
Okay. No, I don't. Do you?
Okay.
Okay,
you can get that.
So if he's interested, if he gets in a letter of interest. Then he needs to have to go find out. Okay. Okay, he went away. All right, so keep talking. Go ahead. down there. Oh, David and Emily. Yeah. So if right, but it's their job to come to us and say, tell us that they have interest.
Okay.
So they need to submit a letter of interest. Yeah, if that makes sense to you. Okay. Yeah, so reach out to them and talk to them, and that would be so great.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're going to have to see you next week. Your last one is, couldn't make it this weekend. Yeah, thank you. Okay. You could. Okay. Yeah, no, we're good. You're going to take Daddy home? Thank you. Okay, we're going to reel it back in for our continuation of our select board meeting. Thank you so much, everybody. Okay, where do we leave off? Okay, we've done that. So our next agenda item. Wait, do we have anything else that we need to do before moving on? I don't think so. Okay, we're going to roll right into review of minutes. Let's start with November 17. Will, did you have a chance to look at those?
I did.
Okay, do you have any thoughts?
I could not find anything wrong.
I have one. I got one. On the second page, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th paragraph down, we're talking about bird glass.
Yes.
The second sentence says these windows would be around the front door. Is it supposed to be dots? These dots would be around the front doors? Because we're talking about the bird glass dots? Or am I misreading it?
Well, no, I meant the location of the windows.
Onto the large glass windows. These windows would be around... Okay, I read it incorrectly. My bad. So, Will, you were correct. There was nothing wrong with these minutes. My apologies. Okay, so do I have a motion to approve the November 17th, 2025 minutes as written?
So moved.
I have to second the motion. All right, any further discussion?
No.
All those in favor?
Will, I.
Elisa, I. Thank you. All right, and we will move on to November 19 minutes. Well, did you have anything on that?
I did not.
Okay, neither did I. So may I have a motion to approve the minutes of Wednesday, November 19, 2025?
So moved.
I'll second the motion. Any discussion?
None on my part.
All those in favor?
Will, I.
Elisa, I. Thank you. Alrighty, we will go next to the roof repair quotes that we received. We had two to consider. As Hilma previously stated during STM, that the third bid has been
withdrawn.
Recalled.
Withdrawn.
Withdrawn. I'm like, I'm not getting the right word. It's been withdrawn. Will, did you have a chance to go over these?
I did.
Okay. And we have a little map that describes to us quite clearly as to what parts of the roof that we are talking about. We're talking about the lower roof, sort of over the library area, and then the roof that is over us right now, which is being called the South Gym Roof. And it looks like we have two quotes that will repair both of those areas. Hilma, do you have anything to add on these?
No, we don't.
No? Okay. Well, questions or concerns?
No, not at this point.
Okay. So are we in a position where we're ready to select one of these? Yes. I'm getting the okie dokie from my boss. My boss here. So I think it's pretty clear. So
do I talk about the two quotes?
You can talk about it. Okay, so we have two quotes. Two bids. One is from the Vermont Roofing Company, and they have submitted a bid of $59,441. And then we have a second bid from Titan Roofing Company, or Inc., with a bid proposal of $35,015. So it kind of seems like the choice is clear. And these are matching bids, meaning the bids came in for the exact same project. So are we feeling comfortable in going ahead and... Okay, very good. So may I have a motion to... Yes, question. Yes, Dana. Mm-hmm.
Is that for similar materials for the same job?
Should see if they actually are talking about the specific...
Yeah. It's a pretty big disparity between
it
the
is,
two.
Isn't it?
No, it's the same materials.
Trying to look to see...
Lifetime architectural style laminated shingle.
50-year warranty, as stated earlier tonight?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Made with synthetic ice and water and interlocking panel work around interlocking water. Okay. Any other thoughts? Questions? Is there anything else we should be considering? Nope. Okay. So I would like to. May I have a motion to approve to accept the bid from Titan Roofing, dated October 9, 2025, for a sum of $35,015 for the replacement of two roof sections: the lower roof over the library and the roof over the South Gym roof area above the cafeteria. May I have that motion?
So moved.
I'll second that motion. Any discussion?
No.
All those in favor?
Will, I.
Elisa, aye.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Okay, coming right along. There that. Gosh, we're into mail already. Mm-hmm. All right. We actually have a couple of... It's kind of a lengthy mail... So, we have two parts to review, and some is from last week when we had to cancel, so we have a couple of things going on here. So, we received an email from the town of Fairhaven requesting that we join into a letter campaign for the increasing of local aid, which I think we've got to sign later. Okay.
As long as you... vote to sign
it. Should we want to do that now or after I go through mail?
Now. I would suggest you do it now.
Okay. Please. Betcha. Soon as I find it. It is over here. I know I can do that. There it is. Okay. So may I have a motion to submit a letter to Senator Mark and Representative Blay requesting their support in increasing local aid?
So moved.
I will second the motion. Any discussion?
No.
Question, Dana?
Where's Fairhaven?
Where is it? You know, I was going to take a moment to look that up on the map.
It's on the,
it's heading down to the Cape.
Yeah, it's down the south shore. It's near New Bedford. And
so Cape area.
Cape area.
So they are encouraging a campaign of all towns to make this request.
Presumably small towns like us.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Will I.
Elisa, aye. Okay, so I'm sure you've got a copy of that for us to sign.
Yes.
Okay, great. Moving on to the mail, there was some communication between our chair and Parks and Rec regarding the park grant. There was some emails back and forth between our chair, National Grid, and the Highway Department regarding the roadside logs on Avery Brook Road. We have an email from our fire chief with monthly reports from July and August. We have an email from a resident regarding concerns about the play structure in town center. We have an email from our assessors regarding the tax rate and the broadband issue. An email from the Department of Revenue regarding the Franklin County Tech School excess and deficiency. We have an email from the Franklin County Solid Waste Management District regarding recycling, AMV, and revenue. And in part two, we have a letter from our town nurse regarding her planned retirement.
Oh my.
Is that something we should address now?
Yep.
Okay.
Accept it or refuse it.
Well, you're giving me a choice. I know what I'm going to say. I don't think I printed it out, did I? So, I don't like doing this one, but may I have a motion to accept the retirement letter of our town nurse, Claire Rabbit?
Reluctantly, I'll make that motion.
Discussion.
Effective date?
So she does not have an effective date. Her letter of retirement says that her license expires November 2026, so sometime between now and then, I believe.
She did mention, though, that she'd like to continue with Bones and Balance.
And keep that class going. She does not need her license to do so.
Right.
So, any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Will I.
With great regret and thanks, Elisa, aye. Okay, our next email.
Barbara.
Oh, I'm sorry, Barbara. Mm-hmm.
Could I just ask you to back up? You mentioned an email pertaining to the logs on Avery Brook Road, and I wonder whether you'd be willing to share what that was about. Sure. Since we have a lot of logs.
Right, we do have a lot of logs. So
on our lawns.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Where to start on this? So the exchange of emails was going back and forth to make sure that the logs were picked up before our snow came. And so there was a great effort to have that happen for the majority of the logs that were the largest and closest to the roads to make it safe for our highway department to plow safely without incident and for drivers to be able to maneuver on the roads safely as well. So that's what those emails exchanging was trying to get everybody on the same board and saying, okay, when's the equipment coming? Yes, great, you're here this morning. Boom, we've got it all up. And then further emails to say, okay, what is the plan going forward to make sure that this is done on a regular basis? So that was the extent of the communication.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We had an email from a resident to the Heath Cultural Council
about further plans. We had an email from a new Heath resident about a proposal to rent the second floor of Sawyer Hall that needs to be discussed at a later meeting. We had an email from the Parks and Rec chair regarding the hiking trail and the footbridge and wetlands. We had emails between our chair and National Grid, again, about communication on Avery Brook Road project. We had email, which is this? Oh, an email between our town coordinator and Bob Ide of National Grid regarding some community assistance meetings with National Grid that are being offered in some areas and how we'd like them to be offered in our area. And then finally, another email from Franklin County Solid Waste Management District regarding the MRF processing recycling expenses for this month. And that is our mail. And that brings us to our next meeting date and what that agenda might look like. I believe we need to have the highway department come in.
Yes.
And talk about winter road care update.
Yeah.
If they can join us and it's not snowing on December 16th. We've got Hilltown Youth Performing Arts to come in just to review the use of the space and see how that's going for everybody. I would like to put on the agenda, if appropriate, the proposal that came in for Sawyer Hall.
Yes, just half a moment.
And I had a note to put the facilities report on the agenda as well. We keep kicking that down the can, that can down the alley, or whatever that saying is. And I
thought Robin was going to...
I had it on my notebook.
I know. Well, I had in my head that the last thing was Robin was going to do some updates, but maybe I'm incorrect.
Okay, so maybe let's just check with Robin about that.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be good for me.
But I'll make myself a note.
All right. Will, do you have anything that you'd like to have get scheduled?
Yes. This is a discussion that came up with a men's group that we have at the Senior Center River Friday about possibly establishing a wood bank.
That has come up
and
to
I know
me as well.
Colerain has one, but there are questions about town liability and how we'd handle it. Mm-hmm. But I did say that I would put that on the schedule to
yeah,
at least discuss.
I'm glad that you mentioned that because that has come up. Somebody mentioned it to me, and I can't remember who it was, but that has come up several times to me. So that would be great if we can put that on the agenda and we can start discussing that and figuring out how it could happen.
Right. I mean, I think it could.
If it can happen.
It's just that we have to do it in such a way it doesn't expose the town to.
Right. And we can talk to Colerain, who has it
yes.
as well. Yes, so.
Actually, Will, I talked to the guy with DCR.
Oh.
There's a guy who actually coordinates the wood banks. There's,
really?
Actually, there's actually a protocol to do that. There's a lot of information. I don't think for you. I'll get you his contact information.
Good. That would be really good.
Yeah, he's a utilization person for DCR. So.
So we had several people in the men's group volunteer wood splitters and chainsaws and
mm-hmm.
labor. So,
yeah.
Including me.
Great. So you wouldn't mind sharing that information with
yeah,
Will?
Okay.
Will, maybe
okay.
you want to take the lead on that?
Sure.
Figure out a little bit. That'd be super. What else for the 16th? Do you have any thoughts?
Something will come up.
I know something will come up, I'm sure. That's all I have.
I don't know. The next meeting, the 29th, December 29th.
Yeah.
Mike Cucciara can come in.
I did see that, and I've got that on the books. And I do know that that meeting, I think we're trying to pare down to essentials only, since
yes.
it is the day that it's the day before Robin flies out. So we do want to keep that as lean as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
But bringing Mike in is essential, I think, at this point.
Well,
so,
yeah. This is rescheduling of the December 2nd.
Right. I
so
well,
is that the decision is that the meeting will be on Monday, December 29th, instead of Tuesday the 30th? Is that finalized now?
4 o'clock.
Yes.
4 p.m.
4
okay.
p.m.
Thank you.
Right.
But our next meeting is December 6th, 5 o'clock, normal time.
Great, thank you.
So the report came out, okay. Is there anything else? From anybody? Yes, Dana.
Going back to the roofing situation.
Yeah.
Now that the contract has been awarded, mm-hmm. is that work meant to start this winter? Or are they postponing to better weather?
That's a great question. Do you know the answer to that?
I don't know the answer to that. I think it's probably something that, like, what will happen is I will convey the select board's decision to Tim tomorrow morning. He will contact the company, let them know that the work was awarded to them, and then he will probably find out, you know, tentatively when do they think they would start. I would guess if there's snow on the roof, they wouldn't.
Wouldn't make it any easier. That's
they sure. wouldn't work on it. But I think that, I don't know. Somebody that knows more about construction than me can correct me. But I thought, like with asphalt shingles, you got to have at least a minimum certain temperature to make them somewhat flexible to work with. Like
above freezing.
Yeah, like above freezing. So
shingles are pretty unforgiving when you get down to the lower temperatures.
So, you know, if we get a January thaw, maybe, or it might not be until
April. Follow-up question?
Pardon?
If they're not going to do it right away, is the roof going to be able to be stabilized enough?
It already
is.
It is already, yep.
It is stabilized. And it does, the last rainstorm we had, whenever that was, the roof did not leak.
Because of temporary patching.
Yeah.
Because of temporary patching, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
But we're kind of in borrowed time.
Yeah.
Better to have a plan to be replaced now rather than digitally remove it. So.
Okay, any other final thoughts? Very good. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
At 7:32, I'll second that motion. All those in favor?
Will I?
Elisa, I. Thank you, everyone.